Continuing to look at passages from the Old Testament. Today we're looking at the book of Judges, chapter 6, if you have your Bibles. It's a fascinating account here of how God works. And as I read through the scriptures, I'd like you in your minds to try and think out, how does this apply to me? What can I learn from this? What can I take from it? And at the end, I'm going to summarize what I think God has spoken to me through it. So it'll be interesting to see if we pick up the same thoughts. It's Judges chapter 6 and verse 1. The Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. And for 7 years he gave them into the hands of the Midianites. Because the power of Midian was so oppressive, the Israelites prepared shelters for themselves in mountain clefts, in caves and strongholds. Whenever the Israelites planted their crops, the Midianites, the Amalekites, and other eastern peoples invaded the country. They camped on the land and ruined the crops all the way to Gaza and did not spare a living thing for Israel, neither sheep, nor cattle, nor donkeys. They came up with their livestock in their tents like swarms of locusts. It was impossible to count them or their camels. They invaded the land to ravage it. Midian so impoverished the Israelites that they cried out to the Lord for help. When the Israelites cried out to the Lord because of Midian, he sent them a prophet who said, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I brought you up out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. I rescued you from the hand of the Egyptians, and I delivered you from the hand of all your oppressors. I drove them out before you and gave you their land. I said to you, 'I am the Lord your God. Do not worship the gods of the Amorites in whose land you live.' But you have not listened to me." The angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a winepress to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." "Pardon me, my lord," Gideon replied, "but if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our ancestors told us about when they said, 'Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian." The Lord turned to him and said, "Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?" "Pardon me, my lord," Gideon replied, "but how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I'm the least in my family." Quite an interesting little passage. The Israelites did evil in the sight of the Lord for 7 years. So God had delivered the Israelites into the hands of the Midianites. There are people that the other nations despised, that's the Midianites, as uncultivated, unintelligent. There's people that once Israel had already subdued. But they'd increased in numbers. They were victorious purely because of their vast numbers, not because of any other reason. God had promised to increase Israel as the sand on the seashore, but their sin stopped the growth. And now we see the Israelites hiding in dens and caves. Because they had a guilty conscience, they would rather flee than turn and fight the enemy. Canaan was a fruitful land, very tempting for the enemies to invade and plunder. They would let the Israelites do all the hard work of planting and caring for the flocks and crops and everything else. Then they'd rush in and raid the land and take everything from them. And here we can see the justice of God in the punishment of their sin. When God leaves a people, all the good goes, and sin has a free hand. For 7 years the Midianites raided them, and it's this time that Gideon then cries out to the Lord. All the tribes in the surrounding areas regularly invaded the land, stealing, as I've said, their crops, their sheep, their cattle, their donkeys, and everything else they could lay their hands on. But if you hear this, I want you to hear it as I do, as a warning for us. There's grave danger in our lives if we persist in doing things that we know are wrong. We know things that are contrary to God's laws, God's guidance, God's leading. A warning for us not to be persistent, playing around with the occult and superstition, having evil thoughts. The invaders ruined all the crops right up to Gaza. They were like swarms of locusts, you've heard. And that's why it is the Israelites cried out for help. So God reminded them that not so long ago he'd saved them from poverty, he'd saved them from slavery in Egypt. He told them not to worship foreign gods. He'd saved them and led them. But what did they do? Exactly what he told them not to do. They worshipped the foreign altars to Baal. They worshipped the Asherah pole. God had led them into a good land. He told them not to worship foreign gods, but to worship him only. So he had this charge against them. You have not obeyed my voice. Again, something perhaps we need to ponder too. When we hear God's voice, do we obey it or do we do what we want to do? And I think this is a real challenge to us. I know so often the Old Testament, certainly by many preachers, gets rubbished as not relevant. But I think this is a challenge to us. Do we keep the Ten Commandments? Do we love God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, with all our strength? Do we love one another as ourselves? In the mornings, we've been looking at Jesus' teaching in Matthew's Gospel about keeping the law, murder, adultery, as Dennis preached on this morning, divorce, swearing, retaliation, loving one's enemies. There's a whole list of things there to guide us in the way that we should be living our lives. And we can listen to that, and we can turn away from it. Or we can listen to it and we can take it on board as God's word to us. But there's no way at the end of our time that we can turn around to God and say, well, you didn't tell us. We didn't know these things. God has told us. We do know them. Here, God hears the cries and again shows just how ready he is to forgive and to show mercy when people truly repent and come to God, asking him to forgive. His ears are always open to hear our prayers. I've said this many times before, but I've met so many people who say, well, it's only a small sin I've done, so God won't really mind, will he? And others have said, well, it's such a big sin I've committed, he can't forgive me for that. Whatever our sins are, in whatever way, God's ears are open to us when we come to him in prayer, in repentance, asking for forgiveness. Anyway, God said to Gideon, go in the strength you have and save Israel. I think this must have put a smile on Gideon's face, I think. He replies, how can I do that? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I'm the least of my family. God replied, I will be with you, and you will strike all the Midianites together. I think Gideon was still a bit miffed. He said, well, sure, give us a sign. And anyway, Gideon gathered and got prepared a young goat, made some bread, put the meat in a basket and the broth in a pot. He came out and offered it to the Lord. God told him to put the meat on a rock and to pour the broth away, which he did. The angel of the Lord had a staff in his hand, and he touched the meat and the bread, and fire flamed from the rock, consuming the meat and the bread. This really frightened Gideon. The Lord said, peace, don't be afraid, you're not going to die. Here's the Lord testing Gideon's sincerity. So he's told, look, why don't you go and tear down your father's altar to Baal? That'll show that you're really listening to me. And cut down the Asherah pole that's over there. Cut that down as well. Now Gideon was really frightened because he knew what would happen to him if his father caught him doing that. But what he did, he waited till nightfall, then he crept down and destroyed them in the night. Then Gideon asked God for two more signs, which God supplied. Now listen to this. This is going on in chapter 7, verse 1. Early in the morning, Gideon and all his men camped at the spring of Harod. The camp of Midian was north of them in the valley near the hill of Moreh. The Lord said to Gideon, you have too many men. I cannot deliver Midian into their hands, or Israel will boast against me, saying, my own strength has saved me. Now announce to the army, anyone who trembles with fear may turn back and leave Mount Gilead. So 22,000 men left Gideon, while just 10,000 remained. But the Lord said to Gideon, still too many men. Take them down to the water, and I'll thin them out for you. If I say this one shall go, he shall go. If I say this one won't go, he shall not go. So Gideon took the men down to the water. There the Lord told him, separate those who lap the water with their tongues as a dog laps from those who kneel down to drink. 300 of them drank from cupped hands, lapping like dogs. All the rest got down on their knees to drink. So the Lord said to Gideon, with the 300 men that lapped, I will save you and give the Midianites into your hands. Let all the others go home. So Gideon sent the rest of the Israelites home, kept the 300 who took over the provisions and trumpets of the others. Now the camp of Midian lay below him in the valley. And during that night, the Lord said to Gideon, get up, go down against the camp, because I'm going to give it into your hands. If you are afraid to attack, go down to the camp with your servant Purah and listen to what they're saying. Afterwards, you'll be encouraged to attack the camp. So he and Purah's servant went down to the outposts of the camp. The Midianites, the Amalekites, and all the other eastern peoples are settled in the valley, thick as locusts. The camels could no more be mounted than the sand on the seashore. Gideon arrived, just as a man was telling his friend a dream. I had a dream, he was saying. A round loaf of barley bread came tumbling down into the Midianite camp. It struck the tent with such force that the tent overturned and collapsed. His friend responded, this can be nothing other than the sword of Gideon, son of Joash the Israelites. God has given the Midianites and the whole camp into his hands. When Gideon heard the dream and its interpretation, he bowed down and worshipped. He returned to the camp of Israel and called out, get up! The Lord has given the Midianite camp into your hands. Dividing the 300 men into three companies, he placed trumpets and empty jars into the hands of all of them, with torches inside. Watch me, he told them, follow my lead. When I get to the edge of the camp, do exactly as I do. When I and all who are with me blow our trumpets, then from all around the camp, blow yours and shout, for the Lord and for Gideon. Gideon and the 300 men with him reached the edge of the camp at the beginning of the middle watch, just after they changed the guard. They blew their trumpets and broke the jars that were in their hands. The three companies blew their trumpets and smashed the jars. Grasping the torches in their left hands and holding in their right hands the trumpets ready to blow, they shouted, a sword for the Lord and for Gideon. While each man held his position around the camp, all the Midianites ran, crying out as they fled. When the 300 trumpets sounded, the Lord caused the men throughout the camp to turn on each other with their swords. The army fled to Beth Shittah, towards Zerarah, as far as the border of Abel Meholah, near Tabath. Israelites from Naphtali, Asher, and Manasseh were called out, and they pursued the Midianites. Gideon sent messengers throughout the hill country of Ephraim, saying, come down against the Midianites. Seize the waters of the Jordan ahead of them, as far as Beth Barah. Quite an event, isn't it? Quite an event. So what can we learn from all of this? I think we need to understand several things. Firstly, God will not bless us if we are engaged in things that we know to be wrong. God is all-knowing. God is not mocked. He knows our thoughts, he knows our hearts, he knows our intentions. If we want God's blessing to rest upon us and or our families, we need to make sure that we individually are walking together with the Lord. Still, so many folk are attempting to play with, say, Ouija boards, reading the stars, visiting mediums, and wonder where they're struggling in life. God is not mocked, and God is not stupid. He knows our thoughts as well as our deeds. If any of you here today have been dabbling in any of these, make sure you get prayed with and have it sorted out, and don't delay. Don't delay. If there's things which you've been doing which you know to be wrong, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to get them sorted out. Let someone pray with you. If not during the service, certainly the end of the service. It's interesting that Gideon's army was small, but they were all 100% behind Gideon. I think that's another lesson for us. If we want to be victorious in the battle against the forces of darkness, we need to fight the battle with those who are 100% with us. It's interesting, God didn't want any weak links in that army, in the front line of battle. And that too is a real message to the church. God is looking for men and women who are fully dedicated to following Jesus. Throughout the church, throughout this land, many, many churches are half filled with people who are really on fire for the Lord, but the other half are half-hearted. And God, I think, certainly in the days we're living now, is giving us a real wake-up call. Today is not the day to play around with God to be half-hearted in our following of Jesus. God wants us to be fully committed. And if we think, when we look at the troubles we face, we're not strong enough, read again those chapters 6 and 7 from the book of Judges. And Gideon's victory to me is very symbolic, how we should live our lives. Let's face it, we're surrounded by a world of darkness. When things are going wrong in our lives, let's examine them. Let's examine our lives and see what God is doing here. How does God fit into what our lifestyle is, the way we live, the way we talk, the way we treat one another? Gideon's men had the light of the torches hidden in earthen jars. And it wasn't until the jars were broken that the light shone out into the darkness and the victory was won. That sounding of the trumpet, what does that mean for you or for me? I think it means being faithful in proclaiming God's word, not being ashamed to be a Christian, and to put our thoughts and our directions and our hearts in the right order, that we walk with God. It may not be very popular, but I believe that is what God is calling us to do, to be true disciples of Jesus. And those broken jars with the light shining out, what does that say to you now? How I read it is this, that our faith in Jesus isn't earthen jars. It's in our hearts. That's where the light of Christ is, in our hearts, in our very bodies. 2 Corinthians 4:6 says this, "For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay as our bodies, to show that this all-surpassing power is from God, not from us. When we are of the world, we have an outward appearance to those round about us. When we are Christians, we have the light of Christ within us. And that light will only shine out if we are prepared to be broken in many ways, to put God first, put Jesus first, not to put ourselves first. That's when the jars are broken in a very real sense in our hearts, when Jesus is Lord of our hearts. It means we've taken I'm in charge of my life stance, and I put my faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. That unholy trinity, me, myself, and I. That attitude has to be broken. And Jesus is now to be Lord of our life if we aim to please him and to obey him. What happens when the light of Christ shines? The victory is won. It was won in that battle, Gideon's men, where the light shone out, victory was won. And we can learn so much from this story. To be obedient to God, not just on a Sunday when we're sitting here nicely and warm in church, but every day in those hard times in our lives when we're struggling. Jesus wants to be Lord there too, not just when things are happy. Don't play with foreign gods or paraphernalia of the spirit world. Be 100% for the Lord Jesus Christ. Allow yourselves to be broken so that Jesus can shine out of our hearts, out of your hearts, out of my heart. There's something also we need to recognize. Remember, Gideon was hiding in a cave when the Lord spoke to him. He was so frightened, he was hiding in a cave. He had a very low opinion of himself and his family. Yet God chooses him to save Israel, to regain that position under God against amazing odds. And that too is a message for us. So often we think we can't do much for the Lord because it's only me. I'm not very strong, not very good, and we make all these excuses. I think God today is saying to us, wake up, and get on with what I want you to do. I don't think God is calling us to be sleeping Christians. He's calling us to wake up and to be warriors for him. He takes us, however humble we are, however weak we are, he takes us if we'll be honest with him in prayer, in our last prayer life, in our daily life, in our work situation, in our home situation, here in the church. God wants us to reflect his beauty, his love, and his joy. I think there's more points to take away too. The vital importance of church unity. Those 300 men who followed Gideon, if they had been divided, they would not have won the victory. They stood together, they marched together, they worked together. They went in the same direction, all following God's appointed leader. Again, I think this is so important in every church, that people are 100% behind God's appointed leader. So many churches fail or fall because there's rebellion in the ranks, in the membership. That is truly the work of the devil. God has given churches appointed leaders. And you and I, as Christians, we're called to follow our appointed leaders. We have that vital importance of faith and trust and obedience to God. We have to be obedient. Then we can be in the right place at the right time to share our faith with those who crawls across our path. I think, too, the vital importance of being a faithful disciple, being willing to be broken, to share our faith, to share the light of Christ that is right within us in our deepest beings. Let your light shine. Let our light shine, the light of Christ. As we go out from here today, I think we need to take those words from Isaiah and apply them to ourselves. It's so easy to apply them to other people. But I love those words of Isaiah when God says, who am I going to send? And Isaiah said, here I am, Lord. Send me. I always think that should be written on all our hearts, really, as we leave this place. We go as warriors of Christ. We go with Jesus as our Lord and Saviour in the power of the Spirit, that the light of Christ may indeed shine out in this town. As I said earlier, we're surrounded by darkness. But darkness can never overcome the light. Light always overcomes the darkness. So let's take encouragement with this story of Gideon, who thought he's weak and feeble and hiding in a cave because he's frightened. None of us are in that position here. Let's be bold and go forth in the light of Christ. Amen.
Well, thank you very much, Francis. It was great to hear that story again. I can't remember.